KALW.
Heroin has controlled my life from the moment I injected it.
Today, the story of a mother struggling with homelessness and addiction.
Like, if I woke up without money or heroin, I'd have to go work the street to get the money, to get the heroin, to get well.
A personal account of one parent's experience with substance abuse.
I'm so scared to go to the hospital because I, you know what I mean, I'll have drugs in my system. I don't want, I mean, I'll have methadone, but I don't want them to take her because of that.
A different kind of Mother's Day story. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. This coming Sunday is Mother's Day. It can be a day for celebration, the chance to show appreciation for your loved ones. But it can also be a day full of complicated emotions. Grief, anger, or sorrow might be more prevalent. Today, we're going to hear a story about some of the deeper challenges a person can face with motherhood. In 2019, reporter Rachel Cassandra spent 9 months reporting in Fresno, a city with a long history of high rates of intravenous drug use. Rachel met Amanda, who was a mom and was pregnant and struggling with both homelessness and heroin addiction. This is her story as told in the audio documentary, Dependence.
I'm meeting up with Amanda at Fresno's Needle Exchange. For 2 hours every Saturday, people roll in, pulling up in cars or pushing shopping carts or strollers. They bring their dirty syringes. They dump them into the hazardous waste bin, and they get plastic bags of sterile needles. Amanda and I sit in my car and talk. It's where we do a lot of our interviews.
People are going to want to, like, visualize you. So how would you describe yourself physically? Like, what do you look like?
I'm 5'4", about 131 pounds. Bluish gray eyes, curly hair. I'm chubby. I have tattoos. I have my kids' names on my ankles. I have Tinkerbell on my back.
Amanda wears rings on all her fingers and bangles on her wrists. She loves glittery eyeshadow and nail polish. Since I've met her, Amanda has been really open about her situation.
At this point, I'm 24 weeks pregnant, and I'm addicted to crystal meth and heroin. I'm homeless, living on the street, pretty much. I'm doing whatever I have to do, including selling myself to get a motel every day.
I'm drawn to Amanda and her story partly because addiction runs on both sides of my family. Addiction to both heroin and alcohol. I've escaped it so far, but a lot of people in my family haven't. I really want to understand what it's like for people who go through it.
I went to the doctor on Tuesday, I believe it was. I just went to the emergency as far as like getting ultrasound, anything like that before. That's how I found out. I was 19 weeks already. And the OB was a little upset because I was already, you know, she's like, you're already 5 months at least if you could feel the baby, because I feel it all the time. She gave me a referral to get on methadone because they said already if the baby tests positive for heroin, they're going to take it, which I don't want.
If Amanda's baby tests positive for drugs, Child Protective Services or CPS can get involved and take custody. Her doctor wants her to get on methadone. It's a prescription opioid that's safer than street drugs. It could help her get off heroin and give her a chance to keep her baby.
I'm hoping it is a boy. His name's going to be Dyson. Like the vacuum. I like that name.
The second time I interview her, Amanda is 5 months, 3 weeks along. Her belly is still small. No one would peg her as pregnant. A few blocks from the Needle Exchange is what people call Motel Drive. It's a group of rundown motels off Route 99. Some of Fresno's poorest people stay here, but they're paying some of the highest rents. It costs $50 a night or $1,500 a month. It's expensive, but Amanda can pay per day. She doesn't have to come up with a full month's rent.
Where's my gallery? I'll just go to gallery. Gallery. I love it.
Amanda's sitting on the bed. There are a few burn holes in the blanket, and on the side table, there's a plastic cup with cigarette butts floating in brown water. She's showing me pictures on her cracked smartphone.
Look at, that's my baby when she's real, real little. That's my son. Aww. And that's them now.
That's your 11-year-old? Oh, no.
That's my 12-year-old and 4-year-old.
And 4-year-old. Aww.
He looks just like me. It blows me away. I'm like, my mom took pictures of me in my car. That's my sister.
Your mom excited to be a grandma again?
Uh-huh. Yeah, she is, but she isn't. Like, at first she was like, you know, pissed off. She's still a little bit pissed off, but she's used to it now. Like, she's kind of happy about it.
Amanda has 3 kids already who live with their dads. She shares custody. But because she's homeless and using drugs, she can't take care of them right now. Amanda told me that one day, her 4-year-old daughter rifled through her makeup bag. That's where Amanda keeps her syringes, or rigs.
I said, Ava, you did not touch these, okay, baby? They're really sharp. She goes, I already did. It's not sharp. It didn't hurt me. 3 days later, I get a phone call from my baby's dad, cussing me, pissed. And I go, what happened? His mom was watching the baby, and she had a rig in her makeup bag. Her little makeup bag I gave her, because she wanted to be like her mommy, and had one in there. She didn't even know what it was for, but because her mommy had one, and, you know, because I had one in mine, she wanted one in hers. And, like, I guess I had a little bit of heroin residue on it. Like, she could have easily died. You know what I mean?
Amanda's used drugs since she was a teenager. In her late 20s, she started injecting meth and working as a prostitute. When Amanda shot up, she had other people inject her. In Fresno, at least, that's pretty common for women who use drugs. One day, a friend made the shot, and he mixed in some heroin. Amanda didn't realize that until she felt a new kind of high.
I started my addiction literally from the moment I got injected from it. That's all I can remember. Like, I felt really, really good. Like, I was really relaxed, calm. Everything was just, like, you know, not a worry in the world.
Do you feel like before that, like, did you normally have a lot of worries, or were you more anxious?
Yeah, I was really stressed out at the time and depressed.
A lot of research ties addiction to trauma. A family member sexually abused Amanda when she was young, and just before she tried heroin, Amanda's boyfriend died in a motorcycle accident. Amanda started using heroin at least twice a day.
Literally from the moment I'd wake up to the moment I'd go to bed, heroin, I knew I'd have to wake up with money or heroin, or I'd have to, like, if I woke up without money or heroin, I'd have to go work the street to get the money, to get the heroin, to get well. It's constantly, heroin has controlled my life from the moment I injected it.
She knew if she didn't get enough, she would get really sick.
It's just really painful all the time. Like, you're throwing up and diarrhea. Like, you can't get off the toilet, you're emotional, like, you put yourself down, you know, like, you're a worthless piece of shit. Nothing, you know, just, it's really painful, like, I can't even explain it. Like, if you got beat up, every bone in your body hurts.
The next time I meet Amanda, she's wearing a strapless gold dress. She's 6.5 months pregnant. She has a chubby belly, and she found out she's having a girl. She's $15 short on rent and really stressed about it. This is the first time I see how much Amanda lives day to day. She can't think about tomorrow until she has rent for today. She tells me her mom confronted her about the pregnancy.
My mom gave me a reality check on my birthday the other day. She said, Mandy, what are you going to do with this baby? And I said, what do you mean? She said, you can't take care of this baby. If you don't pay rent tomorrow, you're on the street. You can't be on the street with the baby. And that's really true. Like, I don't know what to even do with the baby anymore. I really don't, Rachel. I don't want to lose this baby. I really, really don't want to lose this baby.
Amanda says she thought about adoption, but she doesn't feel like she could actually hand over her baby. She never considered abortion because she thinks it's wrong, that God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. And she feels this is part of God's plan, maybe to get her off drugs. For days after I talk to her, I wonder, will her pregnancy be enough to push her to change?
I'm getting
Amanda is 7.5 months pregnant. We meet at her motel room. She started going to the clinic for methadone, and she's loopy from her dose. She dumps her purse onto the ground. She's looking for any bits of heroin she might have forgotten about. She finds some lottery tickets in the pile.
I have 2 scratches. Those could be $1 million winners right now, and we're just sitting here. And this is the one I always do. I always do this one.
What's it called?
Mega Crossword. And then this one's a bingo. I've played 9 cards. It's a new lottery ticket. Usually the new ones, you win a lot. I've played 9 and haven't won once. But I have all of them to scam because I have a feeling. You know what I mean? There's no way that I haven't won. You know what I mean?
Amanda's $20 short on rent, and it's due in 1/2 hour. She calls all her regulars to see if they can spot her the money.
Where are you at right now? Oh, you are? Oh, nothing. I'm trying to get this $30 more for rent for at the motel. Yeah. Over on Parkway, the Welcome Inn.
Amanda and her boyfriend, Twin, lose their motel room, then move to another one. The next week, Amanda is 7 months, 3 weeks pregnant. She's at the motel room, resting because she's been bleeding a lot. When I get there, she's under the covers.
There could be something horribly wrong with my baby right now, and I'm so scared to go to the hospital because I'll have drugs in my system. I'll have methadone, but I don't want them to take her because of that. But I don't want her to die or something. You know what I mean? I shouldn't be bleeding right now at all.
Amanda is afraid the doctors will induce labor if she goes in. Then the baby would test positive for drugs. I'm really worried about both of them. I go home to Berkeley and talk to a couple doctors. They tell me Amanda and the baby's lives could be in danger. So I ask Amanda, would she go to the doctor if I take her? I know it's not something a journalist would normally do, but it just seems like the right thing. Amanda says yes, and the next morning I drive back to Fresno to take her to the OBGYN. Her doctor said the blood's from the placenta separating from the uterus. It's probably not life-threatening, but Amanda will have to come in twice a week to monitor it. I know she's been missing some of her regular appointments, so I don't know how she will make these extra ones. Amanda is 8 months, 1 week pregnant. She's still taking methadone, but is also doing some heroin. Amanda calls it black. She's lost some weight in the past few weeks. Amanda tells me what it feels like in her belly when she uses.
It's so crazy, like if I miss a dose, I don't feel it that much. And then when I do dose, or if I do a shot of black, she's like, ooh, like crazy moving. Like, it's sad, but it's true. Like, she has to have it. Like, you could tell it makes her feel better.
Since Amanda's been using regularly, the biggest risk to the baby is not heroin anymore. It's heroin withdrawal. The baby could be born premature or even die.
That's the voice of reporter Rachel Cassandra, who made the documentary Dependence. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Rachel spent 9 months in Fresno following Amanda in 2019, who at the time was unhoused, pregnant, and addicted to heroin and methamphetamine. Next, she catches up with Amanda in the hospital.
Amanda is 8.5 months pregnant and in labor. I meet her and her boyfriend Twin at the hospital. A wall of windows looks out onto a dark city.
Okay, a little higher. Okay, there you go. We're hitting
the wall. Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
Soon, her contractions get closer together.
Oh, it's
not. Ow! Look at her. Yeah. Hi. Hello, gorgeous.
Immediately, the nurses put the baby on a scale. She's 5 pounds, 8 ounces. They ink her feet and stamp them on the birth certificate. Amanda doesn't get out of bed. She'd agreed earlier to have the nurses insert an IUD. It's another painful process. I'm surprised and sad that the baby is left alone on the scale, so I ask the nurses if I can touch her. They tell me to wash my hands, and I place them on the baby. Her tummy is warm, and eventually she stops crying. I watch Amanda on the bed and wonder if this baby will go home with her. The baby is 1 day old. Amanda tells me that before she gave birth, she told the doctors that she is still using drugs.
Baby came out healthy. Her lungs are okay, heart's okay, belly soft, whatever that means, that's what the doctor said. But she's not having any withdrawals, thank God, so far. I'm supposed to talk to a social worker sometime today about the situation. They want me to get into a program, hopefully with Macy. That's what I named the baby.
Macy is 3 days old. She's staying in the NICU, neonatal intensive care unit. Most of the time, she sleeps in a clear plastic bin swaddled in a striped blanket. She's had the shakes and has been spitting up, which means she's in withdrawal. The doctors start her on methadone treatment. Twin brings Amanda some black and meth, which she shoots up in the hospital bathroom when the nurse isn't around. She believes her only chance to take Macy home is if they go into a family rehab center. She starts calling places to see if they have space.
Hi, my name's Amanda Layton. I'm looking into getting into the program with my newborn baby. Who do I need to speak with?
Then a social worker visits her.
And I work for emergency response for social services, for CPS. And what we do is we investigate possible neglect allegations. And so that's what came in today.
The social worker has dark, shiny hair and sits in a chair across from Amanda, leaning towards her. Amanda's voice trembles as she says this time she's really ready to go into rehab and change her life. The social worker nods. She seems sympathetic, but has clearly heard all this before.
And they know we're going to go ahead and get information about Dad and any other support system that you might have. So I scheduled us for a meeting on Monday at 1:30 so we could set up all your services.
At 4 days old, Macy goes home with a foster family who learns how to give her methadone. They'll slowly wean her off of it. CPS is worried about Amanda's drug use and her unstable housing. A family court judge sends Macy home with Amanda's cousin, Haley. This is pretty normal. Judges try to keep kids with family when the family requests it. Later, Amanda says, CPS tells her that if she can't prove she's a stable parent after 6 months, Macy can be adopted. I pick Amanda up at a fast food restaurant and we drive to her new motel room. There's a slight smell of cigarettes. We sit by the window, which looks out onto the back parking lot. Light streams in through the polyester curtains. Macy is 2.5 weeks old. Amanda hasn't seen her since the hospital.
Okay, so tell me about the last week where you were staying and stuff.
In the car for like four or five nights. I made myself comfortable, but it wasn't like, you know, a bed. My feet were really swollen still from having the baby. Plus, I'm bleeding still, so it's like, that's another, you know, thing I have to do to make sure I'm not all messy or, you know what I mean, make a mess and stuff like that in the car. And it's in and out, which makes you more colder. And then I don't have the back windshield, so we'd turn on the heater, but the heat would go out right away. So it was just hectic.
Did you, after you had Macy, did you have your milk come in?
Yeah.
So what
did it took about maybe 5 days, I think. It was like pouring, and they were just really, really painful. So I wore two bras for like 3 days, and that was good. So, because I didn't have a sports bra, and I didn't have no ACE bandage. So, like with my other kids, I just ACE bandage, and it was the next morning I was good. But I just wore two bras for 3 days. It was just sad, not, you know, it's something that I dealt with being a mother. I miss her so much.
Amanda goes into the bathroom and starts making a shot. The sink is lined with toiletries, mousse and body spray and toothpaste. In every motel she stays in, she lines these up on the sink. I'm nervous about watching Amanda shoot up. I remind myself I have naloxone in my bag, a drug that treats heroin overdoses. I've been carrying it with me since soon after I started following her.
Have you ever seen someone do this?
Yeah, I've seen you do it.
Oh, I'm so glad to be the... This black is like really hard to melt. I don't know why. I had to grab another rig. Is there one in here? Oh yeah, there is. Too bad I'm shaking.
Amanda has stuck the needle into her arm. She's waiting for a bit of blood to fill up the syringe, so she knows she's hit a vein.
I can't tell if it's good enough or not. It's filling up, but really slow.
If the vein is good enough?
If it's in good enough, because it's filling up but with blood, but it's not filling up. See, now it's fast enough. God dang, it hurts. And I'm shaking really bad.
Amanda's been calling to get into an inpatient rehab program. She really wants her baby Macy to live with her.
Hi, my name's Amanda Layton. I'm interested in getting into your program. If you can give me a call back, it's...
Macy is 7 weeks old. Amanda and Twin visit her at a CPS office. A social worker supervises them. It's the first time they've seen her since the hospital. I talked to Amanda afterwards.
How did she look?
She has a double chin. She has fat cheeks. She looks like me. She has red hair and blue eyes.
And what did you do with Macy?
Held her and fed her and changed her poopy diaper.
And what was that like?
It was okay. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. It was awesome. Yeah, it went by really fast.
Several weeks later, Amanda starts rehab and stays there while she continues methadone treatment. Then she drops out of the program. She says she couldn't handle it anymore. In the end, Amanda loses her chance to keep Macy. She's back in unstable housing and using drugs.
It's really hard for people to understand why people who are addicted to drugs can't stop. So, is there anything you can say to help people understand, like, what it's like?
It controls you. The drug controls you. Not really good at answering that question, because I asked myself then, why couldn't I just stop? I was pregnant. I was developing a child inside me. Why couldn't I just stop for 4 months, even for her to develop? I would still have her. So I can't really answer that question. I don't know. I really don't know.
Honestly, I hope to watch someone climb their way out of addiction. That was the story that I wanted to tell. And that's the story that we always want with our family members and friends. But that's not always what happens. My grandfather never found his way out of alcohol addiction, and eventually it led to his death. I worry about getting a call that Amanda has overdosed. It's common for heroin users. And I hope that she can find her way out before then. But if her love for her baby didn't get her out, I'm not sure what can.
Rachel Cassandra reported that story in 2019. It was made possible by the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. Extra editing and engineering were provided by Lisa Morehouse and Tariq Foda. Tune in to Cross Currents tomorrow morning at 11. We'll hear from homegrown A's pitching ace, Dave Stewart, as he reflects on the team's last season in Oakland.
We played with pride for the city, and we recognized the city. I mean, in everything that we did, we were appreciative to our fans, and we gave them that appreciation, and they gave it back.
It's the next episode of Foul Ball, tomorrow morning at 11. And before we leave you, here's some music from a local band. This is the band Older's Son from San Francisco. They'll be playing at Bottom of the Hill tonight. Today's Cross Currents team includes Pat McMahon, Molly Blair Salyer, James Rowlands, Ganadi Joe Johnson, Victor Tense, Shireen Adil, Angela Johnston, Marissa Ortega Welch, Sunni Khalid, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.